This is Giants postgame live presented by Mercedes-Benz, the official luxury automobile of the New York Football Giants, presented right here on MSG Network. Well, it was considered a battle of wills. Who wanted it more? The 1-7 Giants traveling on the road to play a winless 49ers team. But it was that winless 49ers team that took this one 31-21, sending the New York Giants back with their eighth loss of the season. As I welcome in my panel of New York Giants greats, Sean O'Hara, Amani Toomer, only two of us on the set tonight. But guys, this one is a tough one to swallow. Overmatched by a winless team, a tumultuous week for the Giants ends with a loss. Sean, let's start with you. Your thoughts.
Well, I've got a lot of thoughts right now. I don't know if I can verbalize all of the frustrations and the anger, but really with this game, to me, it started with the first play. First play of the game is a 43-yard run by Carlos Hyde. Olivier Vernon breaks into the backfield, and the defense just looked like they had never tackled anybody. That was the story. Coming into this game, I felt like the defense, if they could take care of the run, stop the run, put this game in Beathard's hands, they had a chance to really maximize on some turnovers and kind of force them into some bad situations. This defense, 2 weeks in a row now, coming off of a bye week, has just been so there's been no passion. There's been no, I'm dying to get off a block and I'm going to be the guy to make the tackle. There has been no emotion and no life in this defense, and it's really been tough to watch.
It has been tough to watch. This is a team that had a lot of expectations coming in this season, and I don't think I've ever been around a situation where you look around and there's no answers. Players are getting hurt left and right. There's question if they're going through the motions or not. This is a situation where, you know, you're going to need a great coach to turn this thing around. And I think that this is a situation where, man, I'm at a loss of words almost. Watching these games, it doesn't look like they're inspired at all.
I mean, look, I think we got to talk about the fact that the Giants were down three of their starting linebackers. No Devon Kennard, no B.J. Goodson. You know, when you look at exactly what you would expect the 49ers to do, they say, hey, look, we're going to go after your linebackers. We're going to run the football. Mm-hmm. We're going to try to sneak the tight ends in behind them. And that's exactly what you would expect Kyle Shanahan to attack. And that's exactly what they did.
Well, I think one of the bigger issues in this one and consistently has been this secondary. These guys are getting burned in the secondary. And you have a rookie quarterback out of Iowa, C.J. Beathard, looking to become the second coming of Joe Montana. There's a couple of big plays. Last week it was 3rd and 33. This week it's an 83-yard touchdown to Marquise Goodwin, and it's 47-yard touchdown to another tight end. What on earth is troubling this secondary, Amani?
I think when you look at usually like last year with the same players, when there was completions, there was tackles right away. And right now what you're seeing that's different from last year is the run after the catch. And I can't explain why they're running after the catch. I can't explain the poor tackling. I can't explain. All I know is what I see, and what I see is a bunch of guys that seem to be second-guessing themselves for some reason or another. And it's really tough to watch because you know some of these players are very talented. And you know some of these players, you know, Pro Bowl players, you know, all-pro caliber players, and they're just not playing that way. I don't know why they're not playing as well as they played last year.
I thought right before the half, that was a very crucial point in time. I mean, it's 13-10. The Giants had actually bounced back after going down, and Eli led them back on a nice touchdown drive. And then right before the half, they're playing man defense, and you give up a score. Now, I don't remember the stat off the top of my head, but Coach Coffey used to always talk about scoring points right before halftime. When you can find a way, whether it's 3 points or a touchdown, to score points right before you go into halftime, it increases your chance of winning the football game. And I thought it was – you know, I thought they should have been in more of a prevent defense, zone defense. But being in man coverage, we saw Jonathan Casillas get beat by not Brent Celek, but Garrett Celek, his brother. Yeah. And there was no effort there. Janoris Jenkins had a chance to come up and use the sideline and make a tackle. And he couldn't do it. And touchdown right there, you wouldn't go into halftime, deflated.
That's what I'm saying. That play, when Jonathan Casillas had Garrett Celek man to man, he caught the ball. Still, that wasn't the issue. It was the issue when he ran for like 20 yards after the catch.
Yeah.
And you really can't make up for those types of effort plays. And then to come out in the third quarter, in the first drive, and punt right away with a three and out, that's that's momentum being changed from being up 13 to 10 and then going down, and then getting the touchdown, going down 14 to 10, and then the Niners getting out their momentum going and putting together some good drives starting the third quarter.
Well, as we wait for head coach Ben McAdoo to speak to the media, he's obviously standing in that locker room addressing his players right now, who are 1-8, the bottom of the NFC East, losers of 8 in their last 9. What does this head coach say to his players? And as we wait for him to speak to the media, what can we expect from our head coach to say to us?
Well, I hope he's going to say more than he did at halftime last week, but I think as a team, when you're looking around each other in this locker room right now, you know who's quitting. You know who's putting forth effort. And you can look around man-to-man. And that's really – look, everybody's going to want to look at Coach and McAdoo and Sullivan and Spags and say, hey, what are they doing wrong or what can they do? Listen, you're a grown man. If you're collecting a paycheck right now from the New York Giants, you need to stand up and be a man and go out there and earn it, because they're not earning it right now at all. So I don't care what any coach says right now to the players in the locker room or at that podium. This right now is about being a man. And there are not enough men on this team right now. They're not showing up.
I've been in the locker room when it's this type of situation where you lose 8 games in a row and you're really kind of reeling in. I remember our coach came in, Coach Fossil came in and said, hey, look, do you think that they're just going to get rid of me? When I go, all the coaching staff goes. And when they bring in somebody else, the team is going to be 100%, is going to be probably 70 to 80% change next year. You guys are fighting for the next team you're playing, next team you're going to play for, or if you're going to even be in the league. Because if you're in the free agency and teams are looking at you, they're not going to look at players from a 1-8 team.
Yeah.
They want to look at winners. Winners stay in the league for a long time. Losers have a good time. Party favors.
It's crazy. This offense, Courtney, coming into this game, the 49ers were averaging 16 points a game.
Yeah.
This isn't like the L.A. Rams that they just played the week before that are steamrolling people. This offense, 500 yards of offense that they gave up.
Yeah.
And to think about how many points they gave up, it's mind-boggling. It really is.
Oh, it's unbelievable. All right, well, stay with us right here. We still have to hear from the head coach, Ben McAdoo, and the quarterback, Eli Manning. But Giants fans, enter for a chance to win a Canon EOS 5D Mark DSLR camera at Adorama.com/GiantsAdorama, the official retailer of the New York Giants. Heading into San Francisco, a nice view of the Golden State Bridge, but the Giants lose this one 31-21. We'll hear from the head coach right after the break on Giants Post Game Live. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants lose to the 49ers 31-21, and after the game, Paul Dottino spoke with running back Orleans Darkwell.
Orleans, you had the running game going again in the first half, and I know that was an important part of the game plan. I had about 50 yards going, and then it just didn't seem to work out in the second half. What changed?
Turnovers. We just weren't able to get it. We weren't able to get it done. In all three phases, we gotta do better, better job in all three phases, and we can't turn the ball over. We gotta finish in the end zone. We gotta get touchdowns. There was a couple times that I got stopped by the safety. I gotta score those. Just got to improve. We got to find a way to get a win.
We've talked about having a balanced offense and having a good running game all year. The last month or so, that's happened, but still you're not winning games. How frustrating is that?
Extremely frustrating. We shouldn't have lost this game. We got to find a way to get a win. It's simple. It's simple and plain, man. We just got to find a way to get a win right now.
Orleans Darkwell, thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Back to you guys.
Well, here are stats. 14 carries, 70 yards. Fifth straight game leading the team in rushing. Guys, the running game has been there. Orleans Darkwell was doing his part, but it seems as though, they're just not on the field as much.
Well, look, Orleans Darkwell continues his downhill running and breaking off another big run. He's a very physical runner, but, still 14 carries is not enough.
Yeah.
I think Orleans Darkwell, it's a totally different game if you sit here and say, hey, Darkwell had 25 carries. I still don't think they gave him the football enough, especially not in the second half. Now, you come out of halftime, you're down 17-13. You're in the game. Yes, they missed a field goal early on, but when you look at their second half possessions, missed field goal and then three straight punts, the offense was not – they weren't leaning enough on Orleans Darkwell, if you ask me. I still think that this offensive run game is very predictable. They really basically have three basic run plays. They've got a trap inside. They've got a single back power scheme where they pull the guard. And then they've got a little draw action. There's not a whole lot to it. There's really not a lot of wrinkles. We did see a reverse early on, a little gadget play, but there's not a whole lot of creativity. There's not a whole lot of, hey, let's get these guys out in space. You know, I would have liked to have seen some more screens to Gallman, get him out. He seems to have a little bit of a burst. The offense did it produced at times, but too many times a penalty would back them up, and then they couldn't convert. Instead of third and three or third and four, it's now third and eight and nine. And I also thought they missed a couple opportunities. You have a running back averaging 5 yards a carry. The Giants threw the ball on third and two at least three times. Yeah. Those are opportunities where you've got to get the first down, and you could do it with Darkwa.
Yeah, taking a shot. I like the way they tried to mix it up, but you're right. The running game hasn't been emphasized enough as it should be. But you think maybe some of the reason why they haven't done a lot of wrinkles on offense would be because of all the injuries and the young players that are in there that, you know, really hadn't been projected to be starters or even big parts of the game plan this part of the year.
The thing that jumps out to me is I look at this 49ers defense and coming in, watching film of them last week, guess who ran all over them? The Arizona Cardinals, all right? Their offense has been one of the worst offenses. They just got their quarterback hurt, Carson Palmer. Adrian Peterson had 37 carries. He ran for almost 150 yards. Mm-hmm. That's what Orleans Darkwa should have had.
Yeah.
He should have had Adrian Peterson-like numbers because the 49ers rushing defense, they are the worst rushing ranked defense in the NFL. Yeah. So just feed them. They shouldn't have never stopped.
You heard Shane Vereen's number called late in that game. Is this a position where you say, hey, maybe we need to utilize him more in the offense?
Not on first and second down. I mean, look, he's not the – again, that to me is the problem. For years now, it's been running back by committee. It was Rashad Jennings, and it was give one guy 25 carries. Let him get rhythm. Let him do that. And then those big chunk runs that we saw Carlos Hyde getting for the 49ers, they will come later on in the game.
I agree. You need to get one guy lathered up. Some running backs need to get a lot of carries before they start to feel comfortable. But I thought Wayne Gallman as a guy that they keep on trying to put in there, taking carries away from Darkwa, which I think it may be an issue, right? I think Darkwa needs to be the guy, and Gallman needs to get in there. But if you're talking about bringing in Shane Vereen, that kind of goes to, you know, more of a spread offense, passing type of screens and draw type of running back. And I don't know if that's the right direction, because I think they're kind of in between the identity of a power running game with Darkwa, and then they have the kind of finesse game with all the other running backs.
We actually saw them give the ball to Shane Vereen on third and one. They ended up not getting it. They had to go for it on fourth and two. I thought offensively, you know, you mentioned the guys going down. Justin Pugh came back in. He ended up going back out. Bobby Hart comes in. DJ Fluker ended up going out. John Jalapio, who wasn't even on the roster to start the season, he ends up going in. We had a lot of guys go down in this game. So I tell you what, when you start losing games, all of a sudden the little Knicks guys stop playing through all that. That'll be interesting to see. But two guys offensively, they showed a lot of fight. I know you liked it, Sterling Shepard and Evan Engram.
Yeah, Sterling Shepard, you know, had a lot of, made big plays. You know, kept the offense moving down the field a little bit. Gave some opportunities for Eli to, you know, kind of stretch out the defense. So it's I think Sterling Shepard, I would like to see Evan Engram get a little more involved in the offense too. So both
nice
of those guys,
kind
of, they have to be the feature.
Nice double move by Engram down in the red zone there.
Mm-hmm. For the touchdown.
On the touchdown throw. It was, a great throw by Eli, but Evan Engram did a great job selling that out route against Eric Reed. And when you look at Eli in the red zone, they showed a stat. Coming into the game, Eli has the best passer rating in the NFL in the red zone. He coming in with 9 touchdowns, no interceptions. He threw 2 more touchdowns in the red zone. So for all those people that think that Eli needs to get benched, you can, take that home and try that on for size.
Well, you got to think, with everything that's happened to this offense this season, what would the Giants do if they hadn't drafted Evan Engram? He's been a superstar on this offense.
Well, maybe if they drafted an old lineman, maybe we'd be running the ball a little more.
Well, that's a conversation for another day. All right, Ben and Jax, our guests of our post-game show, will receive a gift certificate from Ben and Jax, located on 5th Avenue and 28th Street in Manhattan. From the celebrated porterhouse to the finest seafood, Ben & Jack's will surpass your expectations of what a steakhouse should be. We are still waiting to hear from the head coach, Ben McAdoo. From Levi Stadium in Santa Clara, the Giants lose their Week 10 matchup to the 49ers. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants go out on the road and lose to the 49ers 31-21. With more reaction from Levi Stadium, we welcome in Paul Dottino and Howard Cross, who are standing by. Guys, take it away.
Well, thank you so much, Courtney. And you know, when we look at this game, there was one thing that just really sticks out like a sore thumb. And Howard, we discussed it on the sideline. The big plays the Giants gave up, I have it unofficially, 7 plays of 20 yards or more. And if that wasn't bad enough, 8 of 12 third down conversions. So they were also at inopportune times.
Well, you know, the defense hasn't been playing like it was last year. Everybody keeps thinking it's going to be the same team, the same defense. It's just not the same defense. You have to get that out of your mind. This is what you have this year. They got to figure out a way to make some plays and get off the field. When you give up plays like that, when a team that's, you know, having 31% success rate goes all of a sudden 90%, you got to figure out a way to get off the field.
Yeah, so many guys seem to be caught out of position. Now, there are guys like DRC who are barking out there, showing a lot of energy and a lot of fight, but it wasn't translating into production and stopping the other team when they needed to be. The other thing we thought was that Ingram, Shepard, and Dark were basically, it seemed like they accounted for almost all the offense, and you've got to be able to spread the ball around to be more effective.
Again, you're still playing with guys, you know, that they're just getting in. You saw, I think Tavares King had a couple of catches and stuff. They're trying to get the ball to the other guys, but to the plays that you got and the players that you got to figure out how to, you know, be more positive and more productive with them. You can't have any misses. You don't have a chance for second chances.
We heard you earlier, Sean, talk about defending Eli Manning, and I don't think there's any question. As we watched him on the sideline, Howard, he made a ton of really sharp throws.
Yeah, he's doing a good job. He's making a lot of good plays, and the best thing about it is that he, you know, he stands in there a lot no matter what and does it, and you can count on him week in and week out being there.
No question about it. Hey, want to bring in Roger Lewis. Roger, thank you so much for your time, and I know you caught a late touchdown pass in this one. The demoralizing situation, though, obviously, another loss here and against a team that hadn't won a game all year.
It's a tough loss, but, you know, we got to come back on Wednesday, Tuesday, and just next opponent, and, you know, it's a tough loss, but we can bounce back.
It was Justin Pugh the other day who said jobs are always on the line in a situation like this, top to bottom. Do you guys at all think about that when you go into a game such as this?
I just try to make plays. That's it. I don't think I really think about my job on the line or anything. Just come in and do what I can do and help the team. That's it.
All right, and then finally, Eli Manning ties his brother today, 208th consecutive game as a quarterback. I don't know if you keep track of those numbers, but what is it like to play with him once again and to see him do what he did? I thought he was pretty darn sharp today.
It's a blessing to play with Eli, and he makes sure we're on point with everything. Any questions or anything, we can go up to him and ask. And you know, it's a blessing to play with Eli because you know he wants everything on point and get him going. Once he get going, he's a special guy.
All right, and then finally, Roger, what is it that this offense needs to do? You're running the ball better lately, but still not winning games. What can you still do as an offense to get better to try to get some wins before the season is over?
What I think we can do better is just, you know, keep sticking together. Keep sticking together no matter how hard it gets, no matter how many losses we get, stick together as brothers and, you know, things will start moving good.
Roger Lewis, thanks so much for your time.
Thank you.
When we come back, we will hear from Giants head coach Ben McAdoo. More from the Giants postgame live, well, right here outside the locker room after this.
Welcome back to Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. The Giants fall to 1-8 on the season after losing to the 49ers. Right now, the head coach Ben McAdoo is standing by at the podium.
All right, tough ball game for me to take. We knew we were going to face a hungry young football team today. We had some fight in us, and it got away from us in the end. It's important for us to realize, and I talked to the team about it, that every play and every game and every phase is so important in each and every game, and got away from us today. We need to go take a long, hard look at the tape, at the game, make sure we get everything correct and be honest with each other, but give the Niners credit. They all played us today. They all coached me today.
Why do you say you were outcoached?
Look at the scoreboard.
What's going on with your defense? I mean, they led 31 points. You led 31 points. That was an offense that had really struggled in recent weeks. Where's it gone wrong?
Yeah, again, we need to go take a long, hard look at the tape. I'm not going to grade any players up here today.
I want to make sure we go take a long look at the tape.
What do you think about C.J. Beathard on the other side?
He played well today. He had a nice day.
Ben, do you think your team gave sufficient effort, especially on defense?
Again, I'm going to go look at the tape before I make a comment on anything.
Ben, are you kind of at your wit's end trying to figure out, you know, what's going on here and how to get to these guys? I mean, each week it's something.
No, never. I mean, we got, what, 7 games left to play? We got a lot of football left to play.
Did you consider taking Janoris Jenkins out? It looked like he didn't give much effort on the touchdown.
Again, we're going to go back. We're going to take a long look at the tape. And I'll let you know how it grades out after that.
What did you think of his effort from first sight, though, at least?
I saw him miss a tackle. He was going up against some pretty good speed there on the long ball in the first half on that third down play.
Did you think there was a here-we-go-again feeling about when?
No, I thought we battled back in the game. It was a back-and-forth, close, tight ball game early. I didn't get that feeling.
Talk about your defense. 49ers ran for over 180 yards on the ground. They punted one time, averaged about 6 punts a game. How disappointed are you within the defense?
Again, we're going to go take a look at the tape and make sure we be honest with each other after we look at the film.
And you said you saw a fight in your team today. What was the evidence there? What did you say?
It was close. It was tight early. Offense responded, I thought, to some early scores that we gave up. Rallied down. We need to take advantage of the turnover that we got. Defense created a turnover on a heck of a play by OV there. We need to take advantage of that. But I thought we moved the ball consistently. Had some fight in us, made them go the long way. We got to go take a look at the tape.
Your head went to this game turn in the third quarter.
There in the middle of the third quarter. It's an 11-point game. It's a 2-score ball game. You're down a touchdown. You're down 2-point conversion and a field goal. It's when you have a 2-possession game, you're always in striking distance. Even if it gets under a minute, you can kick a field goal, onside kick, score the touchdown, and then go for 2. So anytime it's within 11, you got a nice chance there. But once it starts to get into multiple scores, you really got to change the way you want to play. We have that in us. We didn't get it done.
You're 1-8. You just lost to a team that was winless coming in. Is this, you find that embarrassing?
No.
What would you find embarrassing? Is there a point where you would be embarrassed by what the product?
I'm not embarrassed by this team.
Ben, do you worry at all about your job security after?
No, that doesn't have anything to do with anything. We have to find a way to win a game. We have to go address what happened out here on the field today. Take a look at the tape. Be honest with each other.
Ben, I think it's a 5th straight game in which he's attempted a field goal that Rose has missed one. And he could have kept it a 1-possession game after they scored the touchdown. Do you need to reassess your kicking situation?
Yeah, I can't kick the ball out of bounds, and we got to make the field goals. Every point counts, every play counts, in every situation. It's all important, especially now for us. We got to make kicks. We got to keep the ball in play.
Was it frustrating to see that early turnover after emphasizing that so strongly all week coming off of the last game?
You're never happy to see turnovers, but frustrated isn't a word I'd use.
What did you think of that play? What happened in this?
It looked like he tried to push the ball out at the end. I don't know if he was trying to throw it or what the case may be. But I haven't had a chance to talk to him about it yet.
Do you need to address your situation with the team? Because there's going to be speculation going on.
What situation? We have to go correct the tape, all right? We have to get ready for a next ball game. We have a chance to play probably one of the best teams in football next week. So, no situation.
Anything else?
Yeah, at 1-8, you got a pretty veteran team. What do you tell them? Try to keep them motivated?
Again, we have to do one thing first. We have to take a look at the tape first. We have to figure out what went wrong. We got to address it. We got to fix it. We got to move on. And we'll talk about motivation next week. They're pro football players. They need to be self-motivated. Everybody gets a paycheck this week. And we need to go out and play that way.
Have they been self-motivated?
See you guys.
Well, once Ben McAdoo takes a long, hard look at the tape, he'll see that his defense gave up 31 points to a winless 49ers team. They had given up 30 points total over their last 3 games. What needs to change about this defense? As he mentioned, they're welcoming in a Kansas City Chiefs team that is a high-flying offense, and they are coming off a bye. Sean, we'll start with you.
Well, the first 2 things that jumped to my mind is they got to find a way to get pressure on the quarterback. They had not 1 sack. They had 2 quarterback hits the whole game, and the pass rush is non-existent. Now, look, Joe Staley is coming back from injury. He had a fractured orbital bone. I know they didn't stop the run, but you've got to convert on third down. This offense, 49ers offense, is one of the worst third down offenses in the NFL, and yet they were 8 for 12 on third down, 67%. So they're not getting them off the field. You got to get the ball back, give it to your offense, but they've got to get pressure on the quarterback with the four-man rush. The touchdown that we saw Bethard run for was actually a zone blitz. That's why JPP was actually dropping with the running back in coverage there. And he's, Spags has to call blitzes to get pressure on a quarterback because they're not doing it up front with the four guys rushing.
Yeah, we talk about the secondary, and the secondary has given up a 83-yard touchdown today, three 40-plus-yard plays, and two 20-yard plays. And in the NFL, those are big plays. Yeah. I mean, those change field position, and the way the Giants have to play, they have to play more field position sound, and the fact that they're giving up these huge plays, and, you know, the Niners weren't playing mistake-free football. I mean, they had six penalties for 44 yards. That's not winning football either. They weren't playing that well. The Niners did not play that well, and they still put up some of these gaudy numbers on the Giants. And I just don't know if stonewalling the media is going to get his team to play better next week, because that's all we really care about. We want to know some answers. What is he going to do different? Because for the first nine games, it's been pretty, you know, it's been pathetic. And for him to say frustration wouldn't be the word that I would use with this team that's supposed to be a Super Bowl contender.
Yeah.
Where does McAdoo go from here?
Well, here's the thing. The players have got to understand, especially when you're not a good team, which they're not right now, there's opportunities to win the game. To your point, look, the 49ers were trying to give the game away too. And that interception by Olivier Vernon was a great individual effort, but the Giants' offense comes right out. Four plays later, they're giving the ball right back. Mm-hmm. They did nothing with the turnover. That was an opportunity right there to go down and say, hey, look, we've got a chance. You just gave us an opportunity to score. They could have taken the lead there, and it would have been a big statement. But I think when you look at this team, I want to see the players respond. How about Janoris Jenkins? You just got suspended the week before. You hurt your team. You weren't out there. Now you show up after not doing anything for a week. You should be the fastest guy out there on the field. You should be making every tackle to try to make up for what you did. And he missed tackles. He didn't show up. He didn't come up and make the plays that we're used to seeing him make. Yeah. So, look, the standard is still there for a lot of these players. And you've got to put that product out there week in and week out, regardless of the score and regardless of your record. That goes along with being a pro.
Yeah, someone in that press conference asking why Jenkins didn't get benched.
Corners are like, they're like quarterbacks. You can't mess with their psyche. Benching him, then benching DRC, they did what they did. But if there was a different way to do it, to punish them, to make them not do, if there was a different way, they probably should have done something else.
I wouldn't let them off easy.
Well, you heard that from the legends, the men with the Super Bowl championship rings. All right, we got plenty more to talk about here on Giants Postgame Live, including hearing from the quarterback, Eli Manning. This is Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz, right here on MSG Network. Okay, we're back on Giants Postgame Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. After the game, Paul Dottino was standing by with Brett Jones.
All right, thanks again. And Brett, we've talked about this now for about the last month or so. The running game has started to get going, but ultimately not producing enough points and not getting a W on the board. Why do you think that is?
It's just really disappointing so far. We're going out there. We're putting out a lot of effort. We just got to keep staying on the field, not having those turnovers, and, you know, just keep trying to get better. That's all we can keep doing at this point. I think we're coming together as an O-line in general, but we just got to keep working, and we got to get better so we can win.
Guys continue to get banged up and shuffled in and out of the lineup. The scars are physical. They're emotional. They're mental. It's like a snowball. How in the world do you stop it?
I mean, every week you just got to keep trying to go out there, get better as a player. That's all you can do individually. So if each of us go out there and get better individually, hopefully collectively we'll get better. And, I mean, it's sort of been the story of the season so far. Whoever gets thrown in there, you got to do your job. And we just got to try to get the ship right and get the next win next week.
It was a close ball game, still 17-13 after three quarters. Then you guys had two consecutive three-and-out possessions. To me, sandwiched between a Niners touchdown, I thought that was the turning point in the game.
I don't know. I try not to get too up or too down in those situations. I mean, we got to go out there. We got to try to convert those, not get into those three and out situations. But yeah, definitely disappointing overall, and got to get better next week.
All right, final question. Justin Pugh the other day said that everybody's jobs, top to bottom, are always on the line in a situation like this. How much do you as a player think about that?
I don't think it matters if you're winning or losing. If you're not producing as a player and you're not doing your job and winning the one-on-one matchups, you're replaceable, and that's just sort of that's the way of the NFL. So it definitely now with our record and whatnot, you got to go out there and try to prove that you can play as a player, and it's no different each and every week.
Brett Jones, I appreciate your time. Thank you.
No problem. Thank you.
Okay, guys, let's go back to you.
Thank you very much, Paul. That was Paul Dottino with Senator Brett Jones, who has done a fine job filling in for Weston Richburg, who was put on injured reserve last week with a concussion. What are your thoughts on how he's played, Sean?
I thought Brett Jones has done a really good job since filling in for Richburg, who went on IR, like you said. I think Brett's done a really good job in the run game. He's very physical. He's very stout. You know, I think he did a good job handling the crowd noise on an away game. But whenever you go on the road and you're using the silent count, we see there's a lot of language at the line of scrimmage. And for the most part, he's done a really good job with the protection, making sure he and Eli are on the same page with picking out a lot of the blitzes. Whenever you're playing center and all of a sudden you've got guards moving in and out, they've moved John Jerry around a couple times. He played a couple games with Pugh at left guard. Then it's John Jerry left guard. Then it's DJ Fluker in at right guard. Then he gets hurt in this game. Now John Jalapio comes in. I mean, it's like musical chairs. It's hard, but you've seen Brett Jones really step up. He's been really consistent. Now, really, the question is, Justin Pugh had to leave this game because of the back injury. He gave up an early sack, and the question really starts to become, do we have healthy enough bodies? Because putting Richburg on IR, now you're down a possible center. Jalapio can move over to center if you have to, but if Fluker's going to miss a little time and Justin Pugh's going to miss time, now the depth of the offensive line, which was already thin, is now ice thin.
Yeah, there.
All right, let's go to break for a quick second. We'll be right back with Eli Manning, the quarterback, at the podium when Giants postgame live returns right here on MSG Network.
He's disappointed in this loss, tough one, and so we gotta look at the look at the film, take a hard look at it, and find out how each of us can play better, do our job better, put us in a situation to win the next game.
What happened there on that fumble in the first half?
Yeah, I got to hold on to it, so I got to do a better job feeling that and keep two hands on the ball I just kind of was about to throw, had one hand on it, but I got to try to, get a knee down and hold on to it as long as I can.
Were you looking in that play, Eli, to try to throw it at the incomplete, or did it just come out of your hands? Were you trying to cover it up, or were you trying to throw it there?
I was trying to hit Evan on the deeper one, and then, kind of got, wrapped up. I just had one hand on it. I was trying to flip it out, but I got to try to hold on to that as long as possible.
What's been the hardest part about this season for you as far as, like, just trying to keep the morale up and being positive?
Well, it's tough losing. You work hard every week to go out there to execute well, to make plays, to put your team in a situation to win, and it's not happening. So we just, doing some good things. First half, thought we came out well and moved the ball well, and second half just didn't execute well enough.
Can you put into words how shocking this is to be 1-8? I mean, after the expectations you guys came in.
Sorry. It's disappointing. But we just gotta, we're in this situation. We're the reason we're in it, and so we just gotta keep working and compete every week and expect to win next week.
There's been a lot of talk about your head coach possibly not returning. Would you like to see Ben actually back? How do you feel about your head coach?
I have great respect for Coach McAdoo. I think he's done a good job getting us ready to play every week, and we just got to play better.
Your thoughts on C.J. Beathard, who's a rookie out of Iowa for the 49ers, played really well today. What did you? I know you probably were studying film or whatnot while he was on the field, but what did you think of him?
Seemed like C.J. played well. Hit a couple big plays, had a nice rushing touchdown. So. He seemed to have a good feel for offense and for a rookie to come in and play well today.
That was the quarterback, Eli Manning, at the podium. Well, this was a monumental start for him. 208th consecutive start ties him with his brother Peyton for the most in NFL history. Fun fact is that the 49ers have used 14 different quarterbacks during the span that Eli Manning has been the starting quarterback for the Giants. But he's got a long way to go before he catches Brett Favre at 297. His brother Peyton was at the game today, caught a couple shots of them speaking pregame. We talk about the quarterback on the field for the New York Giants. What can Eli do better going forward? I mean, with the tools and the players that he has, I mean, Sterling Shepard caught 11 passes for 142 yards. He's utilized Evan Ingram. What else can he do to make this team?
I think the only thing
better
he can do is, you know, cut down on the fumble that he had. Try to keep playing at a high level in terms of completion percentage. Try to get his team in the right play. A quarterback can't do that much by himself,
Especially
when he's getting hit as much as he has been. The three sacks today, the five quarterback hits. I mean, those are things that are totally outside of his control. But what he can control is the fact that he shouldn't have fumbled. I mean, that's something that we all agree on. He talked about it in his press conference. But that's pretty much it. I mean, there's a lot of people that have to help the quarterback to, you know, put him in a place to be special, because he played a decent game today. One mistake really cost him, and I don't think if he wouldn't have fumbled that ball, I don't think they still would have got that much closer to the 49ers, because the entire team seems to be melting down.
Eli never plays scared. He's always willing to take a shot. And you could see the touchdown throw to Ingram. You could see a number of other throws that he threw, the couple of that he threw to Sterling Shepard, who had to make some acrobatic catches. That ball's just coming out quicker than he would like. And he's been forced to have to throw the ball under duress a number of times. Sometimes it works out, sometimes it doesn't. I think, you know, Eli's never going to be the one to say, hey, look, I don't want to throw the ball. He's always going to say, look, give me an opportunity to win the game. I'll take the pressure. I'll take the blame if it doesn't work out. Mm-hmm. But he's also the one that's going to come out of the game and say, look, I can make those three or four throws. I can make those better. And he's always going to be a good evaluator.
Yeah, there are a couple throws there, come think about it, that he did miss that, you know, sometimes – I think there was one to Shepard where he jumped and made an acrobatic catch. Those are the types of things you don't want to see your quarterback, your receivers doing. You want to see your receivers catching the ball in stride and getting upfield, a lot like some of the ones that that Beathard threw today to some of the Niners receivers. I mean, he can be a little bit more accurate. He could, which would help everybody. But other than that, I mean, you're talking about three or four different plays.
Yeah.
But overall, I mean, he's not really working with a lot out there.
The tough thing for Eli going forward from this is this is probably the worst defense he was ever going to place. He's going to play the rest of the year.
Yeah.
So when you look
Kansas
at the 49ers,
not that great either.
But they're not as bad as the 49ers. The 49ers were the 31st ranked scoring defense. Yeah. They were the worst rushing defense, the 31st on third down, and the 28th in big plays. So this was statistically one of the worst defenses you're going to play all year. That makes it harder. That just means you've got to be better. You've got to be more accurate. You've got to be better with the play action fakes. You've got to protect the ball in the pocket when you're feeling the pressure. Those are things that I know Eli can improve on.
He also, I noticed also another thing. He doesn't, as soon as he feels an open rusher coming, he's gotten so used to getting open rushers and free rushers to get free hits on him. He doesn't step in and make the throw. Sometimes he'll just turtle and right away, and that's, you know, kind of give up right away. When I think in past years, he would have stood in there a little bit stouter and delivered the ball instead of turtling like he's done so a little bit this year.
All right, we'll be back with our final thoughts right here on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. And we're back on Giants Post Game Live, presented by Mercedes-Benz. Hey, if you wanted to miss any part of the show that you want to go check, we have a couple re-airs tonight, three tonight on Sunday, four more times tomorrow. That is Monday the 13th. All right, well, looking forward.
I'm going to catch that re-air at 3 a.m., I guarantee you. I'm going to be sitting there with my fries and my burger.
A couple of press conferences you'll want to be checking out.
That I paid for myself.
All right, guys. Let's think about the Giants going forward. The biggest question right now is the fact that they have seven more games ahead of them, including a Chiefs team that is coming off of a bye, not not to mention these three divisional games heading forward with the Redskins, the Eagles, and the Cowboys, which happens to be a home game at MetLife Stadium. What are the things to look for with this Chiefs game next week? Well, Andy Reid and company coming in to MetLife
Stadium.
Well,
we talked about protecting the quarterback. Certainly they've got to do that. You know, you've got some good pass rushers coming in with the Chiefs. I think when you look at offensively, you've got to find a way to start fast. We've been talking about it all year long. Start fast, start fast. They've really struggled. We just saw them score a field goal on their first possession, which was nice. But the second half, you can't disappear. So offensively, they've got to be more consistent. The one challenge they have, they're playing the Chiefs. Andy Reid coming off a bye, 16-2. So he's pretty good with a little extra rest and a little extra preparation. That's something that Steve Spagnuolo is really going to have to address.
I think they're going to have to not worry about anything. Don't even worry about make it a nameless, faceless opponent. And just focus on executing what they do best. And, you know, I think they need some identity still. I mean, they had identity with Odell Beckham. They had identity with those older receiving group because that was kind of the focal point of the team. Now they have to figure out what this team can do best. And I think that's one of the major areas that this team is floundering in. They don't have a direction. And when I look at this team, I don't know. On third and long, who's the guy that's going to make the play? Where are they going to go? What is this Giants team known for? And I really can't tell you.
I want to see somebody get angry. You know,
let's
just see somebody come out and just get fired up. And I'm talking about on the field,
yeah.
A little intensity, a little emotion.
Yeah.
When you think about this Chiefs offense, the defense has really struggled for the Giants with the big plays. Well, guess what? Tyreek Hill. He's fast. Might want to cover him. Jason Kelce, he's a tight end. He's going to be standing next to the tackle. Travis Kelce. Yeah, Jason, his brother's the center in Philly.
Yeah.
They've got to find a way to slow down those big plays, and Kareem Hunt, too. I think the tackling has been poor as well. Too many yards after contact. First guy there, you got to make the stop.
I mean, the thing about it is this NFL, they don't let up. Like, nobody's going to say, the Giants are – they're having this tough season. Let's just go easy on them.
Yeah.
They're not going to let up on you. They're going to try to make you look bad. You have to step up and just say enough is enough. That's what I want to see. I'm waiting for that tipping point where they're just like, you know what, we're done being embarrassed, and we're just going to go out with an effort that's going to be evident when you watch the no more run after the catches, no more. You know, 83-yard plays. I mean, that doesn't happen in the NFL.
Yeah.
You know, Rocky's not in the corner. He's not going to throw the damn towel.
Cut me, Nick.
All right, you know, got seven more rounds, like Courtney said. I want to see somebody fight. Let's fight.
Yeah. I think a lot of Giants fans are concerned about that Cowboys game that certainly Jason Garrett is going to be running up the score.
Well,
let's get to the Chiefs first.
One
that
at
is
time.
A Chiefs game next Sunday at MetLife Stadium, a 1 o'clock start. You can see it all here post-game at MSG. Giants postgame live. Bob Popper will be the host in that one. All right, that's all we got for today. For myself, Sean O'Hara, Amani Toomer, thank you for joining us. We'll see you next time.